I'm Carol Hills, in for Marco Werman. President Obama sought to reassure the nation with his address from the Oval Office last night. He said he has no greater responsibility than the security of the American people. But events like the mass shooting in San Bernardino last week raise lots of troubling questions. In just a few minutes, we'll hear more about what we know and don't know regarding the female shooter in California, Tashfeen Malik. First, though, we're going to focus on the different ways that people react to an act of terrorism. For that, we reached out to Sheldon Solomon. He's a professor of social psychology at Skidmore College. And he told me that based on his research, he thinks people tend to react to an act of terror in three ways. One, he says, is to seek safety. The second is to try to help those in need. And third, what he calls malignant manifestations of non-conscious death anxiety. That's a mouthful. So I asked him for examples of what that means in the context of the San Bernardino attacks.
Virulent antipathy to Islam, anyone or anything associated with it, including support for measures such as closing down mosques and requiring all Muslims to become part of a registry, increased support for rather draconian military measures such as an immediate ground war in Syria and Iraq.
It sounds like what you're getting at is that people often overreact to dramatic incidences of terrorism or other threatening events, and that somehow it's a response to our fear of death.
Yes, I think that's a good characterization of our work, which is derived from the cultural anthropologist Ernest Becker, who won in 1974 a Pulitzer Prize for the book called The Denial of Death. And so what Becker says in a nutshell is that human beings are so sophisticated that we can think abstractly and symbolically. And because of that, we become aware that we will someday die, that we can die at any time, and that we're really no more significant or enduring than lizards or potatoes. And what Becker said is that those realizations would literally paralyze us with abject existential terror, and that what we humans do to manage that terror is to really embrace our culturally constructed worldviews that give us a sense that life has meaning and that we have value. And we're so motivated to preserve faith in our culture and faith in ourselves that we'll respond defensively whenever existential fears are aroused. And this is particularly likely to happen in the wake of these kinds of events, be it 9/11, the Paris attacks, or the California shootings.
So is part of that sort of blaming the other?
Absolutely. One of the things that's an unfortunate byproduct of this need to embrace our own cultural ideas is that there's a collateral need to designate someone or something else as the all-encompassing repositories of evil, the eradication of which would make life on Earth as it's purported to be in heaven. And so back in the old days of the Cold War, we had the Russians as evil incarnate. And now since September 11th, it's Muslims or folks who we describe as Islamic. And so in many ways, when existential concerns are aroused, when we're reminded, quite unconsciously, by the way, that we may someday die, that this exaggerates our affection for our own culture and magnifies our hatred and hostility to anyone who's different.
As we know, some of what he's describing there has already impacted American politics, and Solomon thinks it could well affect the current U.S. presidential campaign.
Well, I think in very significant ways. So in 2004, we showed that Americans in a psychologically benign state of mind preferred Senator Kerry over President Bush in quite a few experiments. But when they were first reminded of their mortality, they preferred President Bush over Senator Kerry. Similarly, we've just completed one study where we found that Americans reminded of their mortality became more supportive of Donald Trump and said they were more likely to vote for him because here is somebody who has said, I will make America great again and I will build a giant wall to keep people out and I will annihilate our enemies. And these are kind of larger than life figures who generally proclaim that they know where the evil is and that they will take care of it.
Sheldon Solomon is a professor of social psychology at Skidmore College.